You know, a couple of weeks ago, we started a series of lessons on heaven and how we need to rejoice in that wonderful hope that we have to be with God forever in eternity. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13, there Peter writes these words, "But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." When His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you turn over for just a moment to the book of Jude and verse 24 and 25, Jude there has some interesting things to say about heaven. Verse 24 and 25, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling." Now listen to this. "And to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." To present you faultless before Him with exceeding joy. Now what a beautiful sentiment that is, to know that God has definitely prepared a place for us, and that He is going to be there, and that He wants us to be there, and that heaven is such a wonderful thing. We sing great songs about heaven. I appreciate that song that Austin just led, "How Beautiful Heaven Must Be." How beautiful heaven must be. And it is a beautiful place. And we talk about those pure waters of life that are flowing there, and the rare gems. I was thinking about those rare gems. You know what those rare gems are, don't you? That's the people that are going to be there in heaven. Because Paul talks about His glory and His crown being those whom He has taught, those whom He has studied with, and who have given themselves to Christ, and who are going to be there one day in heaven. His glory and His crown are not you. Our glory and our crown, He says to the church at Thessalonica. And so heaven is going to be a beautiful place, and it's going to be filled with beautiful people. And it is such a great thing to think about. And it is something that if we let it, now we've really got to let it, but if we let it, it can give us such joy within our life, knowing that one day we will be there forever with God and Christ for eternity. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Do we think about having joy within our life? Do we think about ways in which we can rejoice each and every day? You know, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4 to think on very specific things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. And we would add to that, of course, the Bible says to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, same chapter, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Joy. We need to think more about things that cause us to joy and cause us to rejoice. The world is full of things that bring us down. The world is full of troubles. The world is full of unhappiness. And how much time do we give those things in our thoughts each and every day? Probably more than we ought to. Why don't we think more about things that cause us to rejoice? And one of those things is the hope of heaven. And we should be thinking about the hope of heaven each and every day. You know, I wonder sometimes if we don't think about heaven enough, because we're so focused upon worldly things. We're so focused upon this life. You know, where am I going to get my daily bread? Where am I going to get my next set of clothes that I need, you know? Where? How am I going to feed my family? How am I going to take care of my kids? Getting to school, getting home, getting to work, getting home, filling up the tank with gas. All of those things, those are all earthly things. Those are all worldly things. And they occupy our minds so much. But we need to think more about heavenly things. We need to think more about heaven and the wonderful things that God has prepared for us in eternity. You know, we started this series of sermons a couple of weeks ago thinking about being with God forever in eternity. In eternity, we will be with God. And we noted that that meant three things. First of all, that we will finally be in the presence of God. And what a wonderful blessing that will be. And Jude 1, verses 24 and 25 tells us just that. That we will be in before the presence of His glory. What a beautiful thought that is. And it will also be joyous to be with Christ, our Savior and our Lord, the one who bled and died for us, and there to see Him and to be with Him. Maybe even to have an opportunity to hold His hand and walk with Him. What a joy that will be, to sit at His feet and listen to the great love that He has for us. And if that's our great desire, to be with them forever in eternity, and to think about that, to ponder upon that, will give us wonderful joy. But you know, another thing that can give us joy, thinking about being in heaven, is not only that we will be with God, but then secondly, that we will be separated from evil. Now, we can't really understand that concept, because from the time that we're born until the time that we die, we are surrounded by evil in this world. And it's going to be so glorious and joyous to finally breathe that fresh air of eternal goodness. You know, that's going to be really something. And I hope that you're looking forward to that. Because in heaven, we are going to be separated from evil forever. Evil's never going to touch us again. It's never going to come into our life again. We're never going to be affected by it anymore. It's never going to bring us down anymore. It's never going to cause us to be depressed anymore, or cause us to think evil thoughts about others anymore. Evil is not going to be in the picture. It's not going to be there. God is going to do that for us. And you know, that's the only way to think about it. Because my mind is tainted by evil. Our minds are tainted by evil. And we think evil thoughts on a daily basis. Those thoughts come into our mind. And they come into us from various different ways. And various and very devious ways that we really sometimes don't even recognize. And maybe we think about having a thought of vengeance against somebody else. Well, they're going to get their comeuppance. You know, and we think we're justified in that feeling, in that thought, when we're really not, because vengeance belongs to the Lord. And we're not supposed to return evil for evil to anyone, right? But we do. But in eternity, in heaven, we'll be separated from evil. Those thoughts won't plague us anymore. And it will be so joyous there. You know, in heaven, there's not even going to be temptation. There's not going to be any temptation in heaven. Listen to James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Now what that tells me is this. That after we've gone through temptations in this life, after we've gone through trials in this life, that one day, and we've endured those things, that one day God is going to give us that crown of life, and when we get that crown of life, temptation will be no more. We're not going to have to endure those trials anymore. We're not going to have to endure those temptations anymore. And that will be a joy in and of itself. Think about having a pure mind. I mean, a really pure mind that has no temptation in it whatsoever. What a blessing that's going to be. And what a joy that will be. And we'll be able to be joyous even more so than the greatest joy that you know now. You're going to have even more joy than that. Because your mind will be pure and free from all of the temptation that comes its way in this life. Satan, who is responsible for temptation, he's going to be put away. He's going to be eternally punished. He is going to go to that place that's prepared for him and his angels. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41 says, and he's not going to have any more influence over those who live eternally in heaven. And that will be such a great opportunity for us to rest. You know, we fight while we're here upon the earth. We struggle. And it seems like that's something that happens to us on a daily basis. You know, sometimes it's just a struggle. to get up out of bed in the morning, right? I saw something that somebody put up on Facebook the other day. It said, Lord, I thank you so much that today has been such a great day, that there's been no temptation for me today, that there's been no evil thoughts for me today, that there has been no harm toward anyone thought to me today. And Lord, I'm just so thankful that it's been that way. But Lord, I'm about to get out of bed and I'm going to need some help. You know, that's the way it is, isn't it? That's the way it is. So it's a struggle. It's a struggle to live every day and to fight in the way that we fight. And God knows that struggle. He knows those temptations. He knows how hard it is for each one of us to fight the daily battles that we have to fight. And to truly love other people as we're supposed to love other people. God wants us to do that, but He knows it's something that we work at. And He will give us strength if we trust and depend upon Him. But in heaven, there's going to be rest. Sweet rest. No more struggles. It's going to be wonderful. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 4, verses 9 through 11. He says, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Labor to enter into that rest. You know, that's what we're doing here each and every day. We're working hard, trying to struggle. We are struggling. We are laboring to enter into that rest. There is a rest that remains for the people of God. And that rest will be ours one day. But now we must struggle. But it will be joyous to be in heaven, because when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any more trials. There's not going to be any more temptations. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful place to be. And we'll be separated from evil. We'll be separated from evil because we'll be separated from temptation. But we'll also be separated from evil because in heaven there will be no more sin. Now maybe that's obvious. Maybe you realize, well, if there's not going to be any more temptation, there's certainly not going to be any more sin. Yes, that's right. That's true. But think about that. Think about there not being any more sin in heaven. That's going to be a wonderful thing. No one going around bad-mouthing other people. There's not going to be any murder in heaven. You're never going to, you know, sort of, if you will, grant me a little poetic license here. You're not going to get up to heaven, turn on the evening news and read about and see about people who've been murdered or killed or anything like that. That's not going to happen. You know, it's I can't even contemplate that hardly. Thinking about how every time you turn on the news, it's about somebody getting killed somewhere or another. Somebody being murdered somewhere or another, you know. It's horrible. Terrible, terrible things happen here in this life because of evil that's in this world. But there's not going to be any more evil in heaven. There's not going to be any more sin in heaven. Christ is going to appear the second time, and it's going to be apart from sin. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 2. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Without sin. He's going to appear the second time, and it's going to be without sin. And so heaven is going to be a wonderful place from the standpoint that there's not going to be any sin there. We'll never be confronted with that evil that we're confronted with on a daily basis anymore. We're never going to see the sin that we see on a daily basis anymore. What a wonderful place heaven is going to be. Listen to Revelation 21 and verse 27. And there shall in no wise, that means it's not going to happen in any way whatsoever. In any, as my dad used to say, in any shape, fashion, or form. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie. None of those things are going to be there. No, nothing is going to defile heaven. Nothing is going to work an abomination in heaven. There's not going to be any lies in heaven. None of those things. It's just going to be they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a wonderful blessing that will be. Listen to Revelation 22 and verses 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now the city, that's the great place that we're going to be. Heaven. But outside, that is not inside heaven, but outside heaven, are the dogs and the sorcerers and the whoremongers, the murderers, the idolaters, and whatsoever loves and makes a lie. That's what's going to be outside heaven. That's not going to be inside heaven. None of those things are going to be there. God is going to keep them out. He's going to protect us from all of those wicked and evil things that we're exposed to in this life. And because of that, every opportunity that we have in heaven is going to be an opportunity for joy and rejoicing. And what a beautiful thought that is, that I'm always going to be happy in heaven. I'm always going to be rejoicing in heaven because there will be no more sin in heaven. And in heaven we'll be separated from evil because there won't be any more evil people around us. You know, evil people, there's some evil, wicked people in this world. Really wicked and evil. I mean, that all they do is think about self and that's it, nothing else. You know, there's a man who's in the prison over here that I've been corresponding with. And he was put in prison when he was very young. And he has a horrible story. It's a terrible story. He and his brother were trying to make money by dealing drugs. And they didn't make money one time. And so their drug boss told them, I'm going to kill you. And so they took that seriously. And they ended up killing him before he could kill them. Now that's the kind of wicked world we live in. It's evil. And it's full of evil people. Now I'm thankful that this man has realized his sinfulness and that he's desired to do what's right. And we have an opportunity. We're going to baptize him soon, I hope. But the world is full of wicked people. But in heaven, that's not going to be the case anymore. You're not going to have situations like that in heaven where there's drug dealers threatening other people. There's not going to be people who are in heaven tempting others to do evil in unmentionable ways. Those evil people will not be there anymore. No one's going to be pressing upon you to do something that's wicked so that you can keep your job or so that you can make somebody happy, make a family member happy or something like that. None of that's going to be in heaven. There's not going to be any wickedness in heaven. There's not going to be any evil in heaven because there's not going to be any evil people in heaven. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 32. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. So Jesus is going to separate them out. The wicked are going to be on His left hand and the righteous are going to be on His right hand. And He's going to get rid of the evil people. He's going to take care of all of that. He's going to say to the righteous, come, inherit the blessings prepared of My Father for you from the foundation of the world. And He's going to say to the wicked, depart. And so they're going to be separated. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Matthew 14, verse 49. And the wicked, Matthew 25 and verse 46 says, will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The only question that we need to ask this morning is, what group do we want to be among? I want to be among the righteous. I want to be among those who go into eternal life. I want to be among those who are on the right hand of Jesus. I want to be among those to whom Jesus says, come, inherit the blessings prepared by My Father. Don't you want to be among those people? You know, one of the things that we've got to admit is that we've been tainted by the evil that's in this world. We've got to admit that. We've got to recognize that. We've got to confess that in order for Jesus to save us, in order for Jesus to work the work of salvation within our life. We've got to recognize that it's not by my own power and by my own abilities that I can have salvation, but that it is Jesus who saves me through His plan, through His way of me coming to Him and submitting to His will. Because look, sin separates man from God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. And that means if I'm going to be saved, I've really got to listen to Jesus. I've got to do what He says to do. And He's told us what we need to do. To hear His word and believe it. Confess Him. To be baptized for the remission of sins. We've really got to identify with Jesus by going down to that watery grave of baptism and identifying with His death and His burial and His resurrection. And when we rise up out of that watery grave of baptism, we can come forth in a new life. Because God, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 tells us that God works on us when we obey Him. And He keeps on working on us so that we can be prepared one day to enter into glory. To be on that right hand of the throne of the Father. To be righteous. Not to present my own righteousness before Him. That's not going to work. Because all of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah says. But to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. For Him who knew no sin, He made to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And that means I need to be in Christ. I need to put on Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27. And then what joy we can have within our life. Rejoicing to know that one day we're going to be in heaven with Him for all eternity. Separated from evil. Separated from temptation. Separated from sin. Separated from all those evil people that were working evil in the world, who loved to work evil, who loved to have a lie within their life. Separated from all of that because we have trusted in Christ. Do you need to trust in Him this morning? Why not give your life to Him today while we stand and while we sing?